Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm, and this is the week after Labor Day. Everything is moving into autumn. I was going to say back to normal, back to school, back to routine and stuff, but it most certainly isn't. We've been off we were off last week, had a show the week before, off the week. Summer schedule's over. Dave, how you doing? Welcome back.
I'm doing pretty well. And how are you? Did you enjoy as much as you could this summer? Maybe a little less travel than you might have liked to have had.
This is a weird one. In some ways, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the solitude and the quiet and the feeling that I didn't have to be in 100 different places at the time because I couldn't.
Right.
In a way, I feel like we were all, like, at least I was sort of on a forced vacation. But I also feel really fortunate. I have clients that weren't hurt terribly. So I kept employment through the whole time. I don't want to speak of COVID as if it's over. It most certainly isn't. Canada, where you and I live, had a relatively good experience relative to our American cousins, but we're in what appears to be a second wave now. So the crisis isn't over, but it seems almost normal now, eh?
It is. And I mean, we had, I think from that context, I know we'll move on because we got a lot of tech to cover, but on that one, I think we oddly benefited from, we reacted, I would just, pretty well early on. And so now, yes, the numbers are creeping up a little bit, but the medical community, everybody, we all kind of know a little more, a lot more about what to do, how the treatments work, this, that, the other thing. So how to do tracing, right? Like all that sort of stuff is in place.
Incidentally, yes. Just worth mentioning, I had my own COVID test this week and weird experience, but I got back the results negative. So yay.
Good.
But have you had a COVID test yet? Have you actually had a test done?
I have not. And I've been curious as to what that feels like.
It's honest to goodness. And I don't, it's not a weird, it's not a painful feeling at all, but it honestly feels like the front of your brain, the part that you can't touch yourself, gets tickled. I'm not kidding you. Like they stick that thing so far back there up your nose. I swear. And then they turn it over 10 times. And I swear it was like my brain was being nudged.
Q-tipping from the inside.
Something like that. Yeah. Speaking of your brain being nudged, how did you feel about, let's start off with a bang today just for kicks.
All right.
Google Ads hiding search term data from search marketers.
Yeah, thank you, Christy Olson from Bing.
Coming to your defense, absolutely.
Coming to our defense. Here's the thing. If I go into a restaurant, let's say I go into McDonald's and there's a few of us there, or order on the mobile app because that's, you know, probably a better route to go right now. And I order a whole bunch of stuff and I go and I pick up that bag of stuff and I take it home. I want to be able to look at that receipt and go, here's a list of all the stuff that I got for the money that I gave them. And then for Google to come out and go, by the way, we're going to be taking away some of that. So you're just going to have to trust us. We charged you. It was fair. We have your best interest at heart. No, you don't. You just don't. And that's okay. I find it really suspicious that all of a sudden they're getting hit with, like, first time they're losing a little bit of ground in the revenue, right? I mean, they're not losing ground relative to other end, but they're losing ground. They didn't profit as much in this quarter.
If they're not making a gajillion dollars as fast as they were last quarter.
As they were last quarter, exactly. So now all of a sudden they want to hide some of this data from us and they'll call it low level. And it's true. It is low level. So if it's low level, first off, show it to us. It's not a problem. And B, some of that low level in aggregate matters, right? Like you see one thing in there and you go, I'm going to negative out this one thing because I never want to see the word cheap again. That could have saved you thousands of dollars over a year among a bunch of low level terms.
So. Well, you see, Google Fives just only affects 1% or so of your ad spend. So it's not a big deal, right?
Right. But then you look at how much money does Google make in ad spend? And now they've just increased that by 1%. That's
I can't help but free money. I mean, I can't believe they're doing this SEMs, people who work in the cost per click or PPC world. There is a little bit of, I got to admit, in some of the forums I hang out in, there's a little bit of SEO Schadenfreude happening because this is like when they took all the keywords away.
Yeah.
Except worse. I mean, because keywords are SEO's were SEO's bread and butter.
Yeah.
Just like managing bids and keeping track of the money is a really good SEM's bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And Google did, but they shouldn't be taking that power from their champions, really.
Well, we're the ones that give the money. What I think, I have a feeling that this will work to their benefit in a very short term and among advertisers who do not understand what they're doing, right? Like sort of mom and pops, DIYers, but who aren't really, really paying attention to what's going on. But what I worry, quote unquote, for their sake is all of a sudden I'm going to be coming in and going, okay, anything, just negative, anything. If it could trigger something that I don't want, even if I might catch some stuff that would be good, I have to just now just, you know, knee-jerk reaction, put in a bunch more negatives or just not launch those campaigns that are meant for my sort of, I refer to it as like the shotgun approach, right? Like mile wide, inch thin. I'm just here to capture like a bunch of stuff. I might pull back on budgeting for those ones because I will not be able to tell what is and what isn't working. End of day, the only thing that really matters is CPA, right? Like that's, I mean, depending on the campaign type, right? I'm running one right now where it's reach and impressions. But in general, you have your metrics. If you're getting those, you're probably fine. But this is where we would fine tune, and they're trying to take away our ability to fine tune. And they basically want us to turn it over to their machines. And no.
Well, if you want to be part of the, I don't know, I'm really not big on petition drives, but there's a petition drive at change.org. I just posted the link for Dave. We will probably post it on our Facebook, our Twitter feeds, and stuff like that. You can find the link over at Search Engine Roundtable, article published today. Greg Finn is the person who started the change.org petition. And you know what? It can't hurt. Mm-hmm. Google might track you for the rest of your days, but it honestly, it can't hurt if you sign this petition and show a little bit of industry heft. But I'm honestly not sure if petitions really do much in this day and age.
I don't think they do. But on the plus side, you know what? Google's already tracking you, so there you are.
Yeah, what's the worst that can happen, eh?
Exactly.
Okay, we got a few minutes before we got to go to break. John Mueller, congratulations to John Mueller for being named Search Personality of the Year. It on one side, it kind of brings up the controversy. Should somebody from Google like be named Search Personality of the Year? And they're going to get a whole bunch of attention. Like it's not like he had to work for his audience, but at the same time, he's worked for his audience. He really has. He's provided like critical information. And didn't Dwayne Foster, when he got to wear the golden tiara, didn't he work at Bing at the time?
I think he did. I think he did. And I'll give it because this award is meant to just be who is a search personality, right? And I mean, you know, I might be biased because I like John.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a bunch of people over at Google, right? Danny, Gary, Martin, right? Like there's, you know, and others, I'll just go and others, cause there's a bunch, but those would be your sort of B-list Googlers from a like reputation. We all know them kind of way. And you know, he just rises to the top as the search personality. I think it makes sense. that he is. And I think it is, it's just meant to recognize somebody in our industry who contributes greatly to it, right? Like, and it absolutely makes sense to me that he won it. It's well earned. Guys had to put up with us for like years, and we are not an easy crew.
No, indeed.
To put up with. So, I mean, I've dug at him, but I've also asked him questions and gotten some great answers. And I know he'll see my Twitter feed, because he'll like comment on certain things. And I'm like, I'm not always nice to Google. So I know you're seeing those ones. You're not commenting on them, but I like you know that I'm not always favorable. And you know, he's got some pretty thick skin. Of course, he might also agree and go, yeah, I wouldn't have done that on paid search. I get why you guys are mad, but he won't say that out loud.
You know, in a more egotistical, narcissistic, or perhaps just paranoid times, we think Google listens to this show. So, you know. Anyway, congratulations, John. Like, seriously, well deserved. Like I said, the guy does work for his audience.
Yeah,
like, absolutely. Yeah. This is probably a good time to take a break, because the other topics that we have in front of us, all of them like involve some serious conversation. We got a negative SEO company. We got Core Web Vitals not being primary ranking factors. Like, of course they're not. But we really should talk about that. One thing I do want to note before we go to commercial, tomorrow, 1 p.m. at Search Engine Land. Things like this are important, and things like this are how we changed the way the world works. And I think, you know, the last few months have pointed out kind of starkly that we really have vested interest in changing ways things work. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. at Search Engine Land, Ginny Marvin hosts a panel on the SEO gender gap and how to close it. Nicole, if I wreck anybody's first or last names here, apologies ahead of time. This is Webcology. You should expect that. It happens. Nicole DeLeon, founder and lead strategist at North Star Inbound. Adela Solis, international SEO consultant, founder at Orianti, and Amanda Jordan, director of local search, locomotive agency. They're on the panel. Register at Search Engine Land now. It starts at 1 p.m. tomorrow. And again, these are the kind of conversations that will make our worlds better.
Indeed. I think that's a great shout out to that one, and a great direction. And I'm looking forward to hearing. You know, obviously, would all of them have to say? Just had a great conversation about some hot sauce with Aleda. So, you know, we'll have a we'll continue that on to much more important subjects tomorrow.
Brilliant. Okay, on that, we got to take a break here on Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. So on behalf of Dave Davies for Beatstock Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You're listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm on the 10th of September 2020. Stick around. We got more coming up after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break. For maximum customer engagement and retention, choose CleverTap. CleverTap is a leading customer engagement and retention platform that helps digital brands maximize lifetime value. Over 8,000 apps around the world, including Vodafone, Star, and Sony, trust CleverTap to improve user engagement, boost retention, and fuel long-term revenue growth. Learn more at clevertap.com. That's clevertap.com.
Looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Webmasterradio.fm, moving at the speed of light. Webmasterradio.fm, we're everywhere. Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on Webmasterradio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. It's the 10th of September, 2020. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from BeesTalk Internet Marketing. And this segment of the show, we're going to be dealing with ranking at Google, like strictly ranking at Google on two different sort of topics. You know, this is about ranking at Google and about the way Google talks to us about ranking at Google. One of them I want to talk about, which is, I want to cover this because I think, David, when I mention this to you, your eyes are probably going to roll because you already know this. But I think it's worth covering because I think there's a misconception out there from reading in the forums and also from just reading this article that got published in Search Engine Land. Google has said you can recover from core updates without a new core update. Now, that doesn't seem like it should be big news because core updates are just Google changing some form of signals or the way they look at stuff, or Google making some structural change in the way their algorithm works, but it doesn't mean that they aren't checking the website, rendering your pages, looking at those new metrics over and over and over again. I'm curious why people might think we'd have gone back to the days of the Google Dance.
Oh, I know. I think this is like, you don't have to wait until your mechanic changes your oil so that you can put a new thing a new song on the radio, right?
Like,
unrelated things. And I think what it highlights is the misunderstanding about just the core, what a core update is, which is funny because I actually wrote an article last week on SEMrush in their blog on core updates. I think it just really highlights that, and people are viewing it like Penguin or something. I mean, not Penguin now, but Penguin early days, Penguin that sort of rolled out Google Dance from the early 2000s, right? Rolled out, and you buckle up and you wait till the next one, and that's when impact comes. And
that was a long time ago. What was Penguin, like 7-8 years ago?
Yeah.
Seriously. And that was weird because that was sort of going back to a time when a big change happened and then we had to wait.
Yeah.
Till the next Penguin update because they completely pooched the way they looked at links, tanked a bunch of sites that oughtn't have gotten tanked. And what was it? That he was almost like 9 months to a year before they issued the update that corrected tanking all those sites that oughtn't have gotten tanked.
Right.
That was a long time ago, though. I mean, we live in the Everflux universe where it's always churning. And again, just because it had a core update, there's nothing saying it should stop, is there?
Like, no.
What am I missing here?
No, I think it is that. And I doubt we're actually going to see a world where we go, this is V1, V2, V3 of an update in the same way we did with Penguin. I don't see that coming. But I think maybe the mentality, if people are trying to think about what is a core update, I personally view it like, and it's where I went with the automotive analogy, like getting your mechanic to tune up your engine. Like, it doesn't actually fundamentally change anything about what's going on. It just makes it operate a little bit better. And how that operation is taking place, that is going to be different from one to the other. And that was part of my, what's that?
Ask any hypermiler. You know those people who obsess about getting the maximum gas mileage they possibly can out of their cars?
Yeah.
Ask any of them. Those tricks actually work to increase the performance of their car.
Right.
In fact, as crazy as many of those tricks as might seem, and this is just like SEO, not crazy, but as unnecessary as some of those tricks might seem, they actually work to increase the performance of the site.
Mm-hmm. Well, and something that I think might cause some of the confusion that they have. First off, I mean, one of the problems they might have is there's a lot of core updates, right? So, yeah, there's probably one that kind of coincides with when you might get a penalty or when you might recover, right? Like when you might be negatively, I shouldn't say penalty, but when your site might be negatively impacted by an algorithmic shift and when it might be rewarded again. And there may be a coincidence that some function of a core update like Hummingbird, right? Moved us from, you know, into things, not strings. Okay, that is going to have an impact, pro or con, on websites, and that might be adjusted in a further core update. So
certainly,
but the actual actions that you're taking are it's not that you have to wait. It's not that there's going to be a correction. And I think that's where it's sort of the mentality of things, where I think they Google would be wrong in that, well, not wrong in this statement, but less right in this statement, is if they screw up like they did with Penguin 3, if they screw up core update and they actually need to adjust that by updating the core again, right? They go, oh, that did not go well. And then they need to do that, like to undo that by with updates to the core. You would actually need a core if Google's actually screwed up. But if it's just something about the metrics of your site, a core update isn't going to fix it. You're just going to have to fix your site.
Penguins.
Oh, Lord, I go with penguins.
A little bit of random Lyle Lovett. Thanks, Frasco. Everyone should have a little bit of random Lyle Lovett dropped on them.
That was awesome.
Anytime during the day. Okay, so a core update. I just remember where my thought was. I think the reason this happened is I forget who it was who said, if a core update happens, there's nothing specific you can do to make your site recover from it, which I think was bunk advice. But what the person was trying to say is, don't chase the algorithm, just create quality content and make good web pages. But the way they phrased it was, you're not going to recover from a core update, so don't even try, which again was bunky advice. But I think that's where this comes from.
It is. Doesn't it feel weird? Well, you know what? Maybe not for you, because I know you've always been more a content SEO, right? Like, I mean, back when we were working together in like the very, very early 2000s, you were a content SEO, and I always leaned more to the tips and tricks and technical and that sort of side of SEO. And it, every time you're saying it, even now I'm catching myself saying it, it's like, yeah, just build a good thing. Mary's been like, just build good stuff. And I would go and break it.
That's what Google's there for.
And finally, the heyday of Google. And it's been, you know, over the past few years, they've certainly been there. It's like, okay, sort of my early era tactics. It feels weird to be saying it, because I'm like, yeah, just do what I used to make fun of Matt Cutts for saying to do, right? And it was like, links don't work. Don't build links. No, actually you should build content that builds links, right? Okay, I get it.
Why is Google coming to your website? Because you got something that people might be interested in. So make more of the stuff they might be interested in. That's always just sort of made sense to me.
Exactly.
Okay, so again, just to reiterate, to beat the crap out of this dead horse, to make sure that we got it and got it good, you can recover from a core update, loss of rankings. It's probably not easy to move that needle, but that needle can be moved. And this is what bugs me. Danny, like, this is straight for you, man. Didn't Google hire the greatest journalist of our niche and time of our generation be their ombudsperson? Mm-hmm. Like, yo, ombudsperson, ombud. Because I don't think we should have to have that conversation. Here's another one that is going to cause a lot of confusion coming up in the spring and moving into summer of 2021. I guarantee you, we're going to be talking about this. They're going to be talking about this in forums. People are going to be bitching about it, and there's going to be a lot of confusion about it. So you remember how Core Web Vitals suddenly just appeared in Google Search Console, and then the next couple days articles started just appearing in Search journals talking about how important primary Core Web Vitals are going to be and how they're going to be ranking factors. Get used to it. Make your faster sites. And this is like Google Plus all over again, because as it turns out, and actually it's not, because they're not telling us ahead of time. And this is a phrasing thing, guys or folks. Core Web Vitals are not going to be a primary ranking factor, says Gary Ives, which makes sense.
Absolutely.
But they'll still be a ranking factor.
Yeah. And I mean, how much does that make sense? It's like HTTPS in my mind. Like, okay, getting out, like, I mean, early HTTPS, not now it's throwing like browser issues at you and stuff like that. But early, where it's like, yeah, it was a minor thing. They couldn't just like, okay, all of a sudden now HTTP is, you know, irrelevant. No, that couldn't be. You look at something like this and go, I've actually dealt with many sites that rank very, very poorly on the core web vitals. Like just, they're abysmal. They load just fine, right? These are light sites that, yeah, their core web vitals aren't great, but from a user standpoint, they're fine. Like they're absolutely adequate. So if we were dealing with a, okay, they're side by side. We've got two things that are going to satisfy the user equally. Yeah, okay, sure. Google's going to need something to break that tie. There you go. But they still want to serve the user. So if the user is going to have to wait a 18th of a millisecond longer or something because you didn't quite tweak your core web vitals to get content that's twice as good as another piece, your content wins.
Right? Oh, yeah. Google wants to serve up the best possible content to meet their assumptions about the query that the user entered.
Yeah.
So your good content will win over the faster site. But Google still, and Google's been harping on this for about a year. And again, just the way they introduced Core Web Vitals, I think this was in March, maybe in February. I think it was pre-pandemic, but it's really hard to tell these days, ain't it? It's a communications issue that Google has that they've got to work on because you're going to have... I bet you Google doesn't even see this as a problem. But for us, we have clients that spend money, and this money is their advertising money. And quite often that advertising money is a bet on their kid's school fund or something like that. Yeah. And we need to direct them to invest it the wisest way possible. And so when Google gives us like the tells us that this is going to be really important, they introduced it the way that they introduced it. Again, suddenly it appears, and then the next day a whole bunch of articles appear relating to it. So we're going to listen. Our ears are perked up. Something has changed in our environment, and we're paying attention. And then to start obfuscating. Well, maybe it's not going to be so important.
Right.
That's a communications thing. And like I said earlier, and I have so much respect for Danny Sullivan. I got a lot of respect for Mueller. I got a lot of respect for Spitt, and I got a lot of respect for Ease and anyone who stands up and tries to explain something as complicated as Google. But don't make the explanations complicated. Yeah. Like, please.
Now, one thing that is nice, and this is where I'm going to give them a thanks on the Core Web Vitals, because so rarely does Google go, here's a thing that, now again, getting back to, I'm sort of a technical SEO. Here's a thing. And then when you do it, you can just hit a button and we'll tell you if it worked, right? Like where within 5 seconds of doing a thing, I can go, did that work? And then actually see it go from like red to yellow or yellow to green. It's like, oh, it went green. That's fantastic, right? Or this number changed by a tenth of a second.
Well, they do that. And schema. They have excellent schema tools.
Yeah.
What was it? Bing just introduced a one touch. What was that? Shoot, you know what? I'm so sorry, folks at Bing. I'm thinking of how Bing took away geo-targeting. But I know that Bing also just introduced a new one-touch reporting thing, and I'm spacing what it is, and that's awful.
They have their robots one that just rolled out a couple
robots
days
text.
Ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll find and not fix, but it'll find and report on crawling issues.
Just as you say it, I see the article at Search Engine Land. Yay.
That's good. You know what? It reinforces. I've said it so many times on this show, and I'm going to say it again. Bing Webmaster Tools, for anybody not using it, it is the hands down one of the best free tools out there. Yes, if you're going to like dump money on tools, there are better, obviously, like more robust tool sets. But leaps and bounds ahead of Search Console. I'm not saying replace Search Console. You need to see what Google sees. But hands down, a great tool. And anyway, I'm just going to say it again because it's one of those like, and this is an example of Bing handing us a great tool to understand problems with our site. And yeah, anyway, just wanted to get that in there because we were talking about Cindy, or Christy rather, not Cindy, Christy Olson from Bing, having our back on the Google, taking away our keywords. So I'm going to pass her another solid. And your guys' tools are great too, and superior in that way.
Is ad spend is shifting. I'm not saying it's shifting away from Google cost per click. And in fact, I'm pretty sure there's a little bit more spend going into Google cost per click now. But from where you're sitting, are your clients wanting more control with the ad spend? Do they want a bit more bang for their buck right about now?
You know what? I'm actually in an odd spot where I have our largest paid search client shifting significantly to branding and reach right now. So it's a weird time to be asking. But that as an aside, taking out that sort of one-off scenario, most of our clients have pretty much stuck to it, just CPA-based. Just keep us a good solid CPA and trying to capture market share during this time rather than trying to cut back spend.
Okay, because the reason I'm asking is I'm wondering if Google is doing itself a disservice by making it more difficult for people to work inside this environment.
You know, they are and they aren't. I try and always remember things from my standpoint, but I'm not necessarily the bulk of their revenue standpoint. Well, I mean, I don't mean me personally, but people at the level of information that I would have or above. And there are certainly many people that probably know many things that I don't. But if we start at mine and go, me and everybody smarter than me at paid search, I don't know, we can pull on Nava one of these days and chat paid search with her, because I would put her as one of the people that is probably higher than
I really should, actually.
And ask her sort of the same question. But I don't believe we're the bulk of the revenue. I think the bulk of the I get a lot of campaigns coming, and they're not in great shape, but they're DIY. I went in, Google gave me a credit, and then all of a sudden, I forgot about the credit running out and I'm like $3,000 in. And like, they just left this little budget going at like, you know, $5 a day or something, but it's been 3 years and their bookkeeper just saw Google showing up and was, you know, nobody asked the questions, and then I'll get them. You know, and they're sort of going, this is horrible. And I think there's a lot of that, or might be even doing decent management. On those standpoints, I think they are actually making a lot of this a lot easier for a layperson coming in. I think they've got a lot of tools and a lot of campaign structures that, if you don't know what you're doing, are superior to what we had a few years back that required understanding more complicated things. They're sort of happy to take your money even if you don't know stuff. And if you do give them your money, it's probably going to go better than it would have 5 years ago. But if you are experienced in this area, it is getting more difficult. And Google's giving us more tools, but at the same time taking away a lot of controls, right? And it looks like they might be getting away from some of the ad types that we've sort of have leaned on a lot, and sort of making us hand them over to the machine learning systems. And this is just based on Barry had shared a couple screenshots a while back with creating an ad, and I wasn't able to duplicate it. I'm creating ads, but with their text ads removed, like where you're basically going into the responsive, where these are the ones that you would have to create, you know, that you can put up to 15 headlines and 4 descriptions, a bunch of stuff, and let Google's machine learning systems do it, as opposed to me going in and going, here's my 3 headlines, show them in this order. If you can only pick 2, here's, you know, pick the first 2. Here's my descriptions, 1 and 2. If you're only showing 1, show what, right, where I can just go, this is my ad, as opposed to the machine learning systems. However, for folks who do, if they do go that way, if you get trapped in it, and I don't remember to bring it up then, just create a responsive ad with 3 headlines and 2 descriptions and pin them. And that's just going to be your workaround, because you can actually pin something into a specific spot and they can't take that away, because some people have legal reasons to have to pin in disclaimers. So they won't be able to take that away. So if they do take away responsive, or they do take away the expanded text ads, just create ads with 3 titles, 2 descriptions, pin them into their positions, and Google can't really do anything about that. But I know that's what we'll be doing anyway.
Okay. We got time time for one more story before we got to take a break. This is one that actually kind of really pisses me off. It'll probably really piss you off too when I tell it to you. How to frame this? Have you ever been so angry at a client that you wanted to nuke them, just destroy not that you would. I mean, everyone gets mad. Sometimes you get like Hulk rage mad, but you don't actually turn into a Hulk.
Right.
Well, this is a really bad story about a really bad SEO company that did a really bad thing and went all Hulk-tastic on their very quickly former client. So this came up in Google support just a couple of days ago. Discontinues their service with an SEO company, and so that SEO company says either you have to pay me two more months or I'm going to take a small claims court. That wasn't in their contract. Guy refuses to pay for the two more months. So the SEO company takes over their Google My Business listing and proceeds to ravage everything from that point forward. Takes over the Search Console profile and it's just erasing pages. Completely trashes this guy's business listing. He is now marked as permanently closed on Google My Business. He has reestablished access to Google My Business, but does not have access to Search Console, and is, screwed.
Yeah. You know what's interesting here, and there are good SEOs, and this, okay, I'm going to like be inadvertently patting myself on the back here because I was about to try and do something. Somebody obviously beat me the punch in because I saw that post just seconds ago. My knee-jerk reaction was I have a fairly trusted Google profile, like a Google local profile, mm-hmm. because yes, that serves me in business, but I don't lie, right? Like I do what I could do and I do it for a lot more than our customers. And so I was immediately going there to go, okay, you know what? I'll mark you as open. I'll undo this damage that's been done because I have a trusted user profile. Somebody beat me to the punch, which is great. So obviously there's other SEOs that are going, okay, let me fix what I can of your problem here.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go with the story, just to round it out saying there are great people in the world who have helped this guy out. But this is something that I think that site owners and clients of SEO services are aware of. The stuff can be done.
Yeah, you know what? You're actually inspiring me. I'm actually jotting it down. Sorry, I'm holding up like somehow this is visual. I'm jotting this down as a piece of paper. I'm actually going to write an article and it's like, hey, you could almost be shooting yourself in the foot, but I'm going to do a piece coming up on how to prepare to leave your SEO company. Right? Here's all the things to do.
No skin on my nose.
On your way out. And I've seen a lot. I'm sure you have too, where I'll like go into somebody's like Google Analytics, look into the users that are in there. And I'm like, who are these people? And share it. And they're like, oh, that was an SEO we worked with like back then. Or that's an employer or an employee from like 3 years ago. I'm like, let me fix this for you. And I'll actually send an email if a client's leaving our services. You know, we have one right now who's selling their company and go, don't forget to take us out. Right. We want to remove us from these things. Now, in my case, it's so that if something goes wrong, don't look at me. Like I had nothing to do with that. Somebody went into your, you know, didn't update your WordPress plugins. Was not me that broke something here.
Yeah, there are serious liability issues. You once you're off someone's case, you want nothing to do with their profiles.
Yeah, exactly.
That said, there is one that I still monitor and still watch because 8 years later, he still hasn't removed me.
Yeah, we've all got, I think, a couple like that where it's like, oh, okay, just out of, I need to know how this story ends as they go across.
Okay, on that, we got to take a break here on Webcology at webmasterradio.fm. So on behalf of Dave Davies from BSIC Internet Marketing, it's Jim Hedge from Digital Always Media. Stick around, we've got more coming up after these messages. We'll be right back.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.wmr.fm and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.wmr.fm.
Start your search engine and put your servers into overdrive. It's webmasterradio.fm, steering you into the WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's the 10th of September 2020, week umpteenth in the, actually it's probably week up 20th, week up 30th in the COVID crisis. And we're plugging along into the last quarter of the show. It's an interesting one that just, that came out a little bit earlier this week. Remember how getting bad links from really bad domains like Viagra or Porn or Cialis or just like crappy spammer domains or whatever would be like the touch of death and you had to go disavow them and all that stuff?
Yeah.
You might have called that a toxic URL or a toxic link, yeah?
Yeah.
According to John Mueller, since the fourth iteration of Penguin, Google hasn't cared about bad links, toxic domains. They don't even have a concept of toxic domain any longer.
And that makes sense. It's interesting because I was thinking of this just a couple days ago because a client had sent me a thing going, and here's another proposal. And one of those in there was disavowing all the bad backlinks, right? Like this was actually in this proposal. And I was like, okay, no, I actually sent them this, do this piece going, thank you, John. No, we don't do that anymore. If you had a problem, and they've said that a few times, right? Like, if you have a problem, then you can use the disavow tool. But it is not something you are supposed to just be doing. And as John Mueller's pointed out, that's why it's a tucked away thing. That's why this isn't a thing that's like, oh, and here's where you look at your links. And right below that, we're going to put a button to tell us the ones you don't want, right? Like if it was an important thing you're supposed to be doing, they would put it in like that the links location or something like that. So I think it is great to get this clarity though for exactly that reason, to let people know not to, don't touch it.
Now, before I phrase what I'm going to say, I need to say, I think, just in big capital letters, this is like your crazy right-wing uncle tweeting to you, I think, in big capitals, that if you get a whole mess of irrelevant or, shall we say, craptastic links, all at the same time pointing to your domain, and it's clear that you've sent somebody who doesn't really give a damn out to go do this for you. I don't think the penalty is as bad as it used to be, which used to actually be quite severe. But I do think that Google's going to look unfavorably at it. But I think if like just links appear and they're crappy, Google doesn't really want to even bother with the processing power to care anymore.
No, I mean, Wikipedia, I'm sure if I dove deep into their backlink profile, I'd find, Russian porn, right? Like in their backlink profile, right? Like that's...
What do you think Jimmy Wales does all day?
It's gonna be in there somewhere. So like basically we all have bad links. And so, that's that's the way of it. And if you go in and you try and disavow all of them, there's a very good chance that baby's going out with the bathwater. Like, it'll probably be, if you're disavowing it, it's not going to be a super high level link, but you're probably going to disavow stuff that actually is passing some weight, be it or just because it's there, right? Like a, you know, no follow link will actually pass some weight.
I gotta tell you, the only reason I do hardcore link analysis now, the only reason at all, is to figure out what sectors tend to provide the, or tend to react best to a request for linking to content. The only reason I bother with major link analysis now is to find out where I'm not wasting my time.
Well, no, and that makes great sense. I'll often do it when I'm, okay, how hard is this going to be, right? Like, I'm trying to figure out, how long is this project going to take? When can I tell this client they'll see results? Well, if you've got 8 links and everybody in the top 10 has 8,000 or more, buckle up. It's going to cost you a lot and it's going to take a long time. Why don't we pick some lower level things first, right? to go after? Let's talk about paid search for a little while, shall we? Let's tear this apart.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, 8 or 9 years ago, I was very concerned about who was linking in and where those links were coming from and the veracity of those links and how close to topic those links were. And I was worried about anchor text and links, all that stuff, eh?
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Not so much. I mean, it never hurts to spot check. I know I've gotten some automated reports that'll, like, detect if, like, there's a big spike, right? And sometimes those are exciting. Sometimes you see that and you go, wow, I did not know that was going to go viral, right? Like, and a client's put out a piece of content that's like, okay, people love that.
Well, yeah, when you see anomalous activity, you got to pay attention always, under any circumstance, for sure. And that's good. By the way, I would love to be able to freak out about a client getting a whole bunch of links because they wrote a damn good article. That would be a very good day.
Those are my favorite things. There's actually one client specifically who consistently does that. One does it on social, and I've got one that does it on just backlinks. And I'm just like, okay, well, you just keep doing that. Can you tell us what to do? That thing you did last time. Like, if I tell you, it won't go as well as you because it's high, high, high tech stuff. I'm like, nope, you just keep going.
Google wants you to do this organically, so I can't actually give you any advice.
But, I can tell you some structures, and I've walked through them. Okay, you come up with the idea, and here's some tools, right? Like, because they are high tech, and like, let me just take you through the path I would go down, right? And now you dream up your top level. Here's the path on I would go down to figure out what your supplemental content on that page should be, because I don't even understand half the terms you're using. So let's just assume that you're smarter than I am right now, and that I can show you some skills to assist you.
Moving into another topic. We got time for two more. I got one. Do you got anything?
Let's cover your one, and I'll go through my tabs. I have a whack of tabs open, so the short answer will be yes.
Okay, so this is another one of the ones that I we're covering just because there's confusion out there, and there shouldn't be. Google can penalize you at the drop of a hat without you knowing it, and you look in Search Console one day and you don't even see a manual or a algorithmic notice. Google can still do that to you.
Yes. And doesn't this make sense, right? I mean, they always did. Like, this is not some new thing. Manual actions had basically a warning, and that's because a manual action takes manual undo. Right? Like, a human being needs to see it. Algorithmic just, I don't even think of it anymore, and it sounds so googly. I mean, maybe they brainwashed me at this point, but when it's algorithmic, I don't even really think of it as a penalty, right? It's and I know I sound like Matt, like I've got the soul of Matt Cutts coming forth out right now, but it's like, it's not, it's just an algorithmic shift. It's a downgrading of signals that should have been downgraded to begin with, right? And that's sort of how I view it, is if it's algorithmic, it's just them not favoring something they did before, and chances are they probably shouldn't. Right? Like, shouldn't have to begin with. You know, I mean, we all remember these. And I mean, I love the day when you could just like blast, you know, 4 backlinks and Dave's affiliate sites go through the roof. But then they figured that out and they went away. Was it a penalty on those links? Not really. They just devalued them to a point where Dave couldn't make gobs of cash off affiliate marketing by just building forum links. He had to come up with different ways to buy different links to do the same job. But, you know, we're going back to the dark side of things. But yeah, I mean, I think if we try and view this more as a, they're just adjusting the weighting of different signals and how they understand something like links or content or entities on a page or the interconnectedness of a page or how a page renders and favoring the human experience versus, you know, the bot experience, right? I mean, these things all just impact things. Is it a penalty? No, it's not. It's just their understanding of the world has changed and you need to now adjust to their new understanding of the world or go, wow, that was wrong. Let's just hold tight, right? And we've all been there. Oh, nope, that didn't go well. So let's just hold on for a couple of weeks because they're going to have to hit the way back button on this one in some way or another because it didn't go well, right? I mean, you and I've talked about that a few times on the show. When an update will happen, we're like, just hold. This is like a game of chicken, right? but don't go freaking out right now.
It's not just that. It's also like a game of bobbing apples, sort of. Like when things get turned around in the pot, there's an algo update and suddenly you drop. It's not necessarily a penalty. It's not necessarily anything wrong with your website. It's just right. Google reevaluating everything in that area, that node of search of its index, and you could be suppressed for a couple of days and pop right back up to a higher position just because your Apple for your signals pleased Google, but your Apple bobbed that way is what it's going to appear like.
Right. Well, and I mean, these are all very helpful things, and something that is it just, you know, if your site drops and you suspect that it will bounce back, you know, you look at the sites that are all of a sudden winning and you're like, that's not better. Like if you can actually think to yourself realistically, that's not better. What I have often done, and it's just kind of fun to do and can sometimes provide insight, is look at what signals they do have, right? Look at what is it about that site that might have tricked Google. Don't go changing yours right now, but what is it about that site that did trigger that? Because clearly that's going to be insight into areas that Google's algorithm is trying to work in, maybe unsuccessfully at their first kick at that can, but what areas, if you see all of a sudden, oh, it has these kinds of links or it has kind of content on the page.
I got a perfect example of this. I can't name the client. I'm afraid. I wish I could, but it's a larger client. They have one of those large e-com sites that just seem to never end. Mm-hmm. So you can take sections of it and do a little bit of it this way here, a little bit of it this way there, you know what I mean? And and see what works best. So I just picked these guys up about 6 months ago. I'll say on a quarter of their product index, I changed metadata and titles. On another quarter, I worked specifically on body content. Just curious, you know, and so I'll do the opposite. Next pass, and these guys are good for a year, so I can do this a couple of times. And so far, by the way, just ancillary results don't mean nothing, but ancillary results suggest titles were the more powerful of the two.
Interesting.
But to be able to experiment like that and see which to break a website down into component pieces and then mess with little components and see if you can move the needle a little bit from that component to another is kind of a luxury, but it's also kind of what we got to do.
Yeah. Well, it is. And speaking of testing, you know what, I was going to go with a story here. There's some new attributes. So I'll just say that there's some new attributes in Google My Business. Go take a look at them. The story's over on Search Engine Roundtable. A little update on something we were chatting a week ago and you're talking about testing. I had mentioned I have a client, JavaScript site. John Mueller said you shouldn't need pre-rendering anymore. We've pulled 3 URLs out of it. Just 1 week update, and I'll update again next week. 1 week update looks like John Mueller's full of it. I'm sure he's right in many of the cases, but with the technology we have in place, looks like John Mueller might be wrong, but it's Angular, so it's not really a super like out there one. And he said most, but it looks like pre-rendering. is still necessary, but I will report back again in a week because it might just be that they're not figuring it out because we switched from pre-rendered to non. But we're not getting great signals early on. And thankfully the client is willing to just hold with me and ride this test out.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. Well, that'll put a dent in the Tiara.
It will. And I will be interested. I will actually send them the full specs and go, why didn't it work? Why did it not work in this case? And so hopefully we can actually shed some light onto people who have the same scenarios that we do. Because that is the sort of advice they do give accurate advice on. It's like, why technically can you not see this? They want to answer that for themselves as much as they want to answer it for me. So hopefully we can find out and I get a little more insight into their rendering systems and how those of us that can't get just naturally rendered or there are requiring rendering or pre-rendering. Anyway, I know we were cutting short and I will update on that next week when I have 2 weeks of probably lost rankings.
We are about to get cut short. Incidentally, we've gone full clock and full hours. So we got to come to a close. So on behalf of Dave Davies from Beast Talk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedge from Digital Always Media. You guys have been listening to Webcology at webmasterradio.fm on the 10th of September, 2020. Friends, COVID continues. Be good neighbors. Wear masks. Don't spread the disease. Wash your hands frequently. Don't touch your face. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you next week. Rank well.
Expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of webmasterradio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of webmasterradio.fm is prohibited.